Once upon a time, there was a Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that votes in every election. And now, wondering when his hover car will be ready to buy, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another beautiful Arizona day and another beautiful episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am here podcasting because I want to help people understand Medicare. I want people to know how to deal with Medicare, and I want people to have the best possible result from their encounter with Medicare. Because that encounter sneaks up on all of us at one time or another. It may be when you're turning 65 and it's time to replace the existing health insurance coverage that you have with Medicare coverage that'll pay your medical bills off into the future. Or it may be that you are working and you have long passed your 65th birthday, but you are still employed and you're covered by your employer's health insurance plan. You may, depending on how many employees there are, you may not need to even think about Medicare for the years that you continue to work after age 65. But when you retire, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to have to enroll in Medicare, and it's good for you to know what your options are before you decide about your enrollment. And the other thing is that your company may say, hey, we've got this nifty retirement health insurance for all of our employees. Let's all join together and sign up for the retiree health insurance plan that the company offers. And then you find out it's a Medicare Advantage plan. And sure, the cost may be really cheap, but what do you do with a Medicare Advantage plan? You just wait until the day that that plan breaks your heart. I would suggest that if you work for a large company that's offering retiree health insurance coverage and they're offering a Medicare Advantage plan, you rush to the Amazon bookstore, Amazon.com, and type in the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. And within the pages of that book, you will find the extra reasons why Medicare Advantage plans will often break your heart and cause great disappointment. So go to Amazon.com, look for the Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 volume of your choice. It can be a paperback, it can be a hardcover, it can be an Audible that you listen to, or it can be a Kindle that you get downloaded to your reader. But within the pages of that book, you will find the answer to the question. The question would be, why should I buy health insurance when my company is going to give me retiree health insurance almost free of charge? And that answer probably will surprise you. Anyway, thinking of surprises, Randy Carson, my major domo and podcast coordinator and podcast director and producer, has a birthday every year. And it's always surprising to me that when I think about his birthday, it's always around Thanksgiving, and I'm never thinking about it around Thanksgiving. So if I missed your birthday last year, let me say now, happy birthday, Randy.
Well, thanks, Doug. I'm getting older by the minute, so I'm glad that I got that birthday wish, because this year it's still on the same day it was last year, but it changes around because Thanksgiving moves. Every once in a while it hits Thanksgiving. And when I was a kid, I used to think, oh my God, it's so nice. Everybody's taking the day off and having nice meals because of my birthday.
And when you woke up to the reality that I imagine that was a very disappointing time for you when you realized it
wasn't.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with me. I was really disappointed that the world was not celebrating Randy's birthday.
My father was born 2 days after Christmas. I think he always suffered from the hangover, the Christmas hangover, you know, didn't really get as much stuff. I know that when I was a kid growing up, he didn't get a lot of stuff. We didn't make as big a deal about his birthday because we were still recovering from our Christmas celebration. But I just figured that was because he was an adult, and that's the way you handle adult birthdays. And then I worked with a girl who was born on Christmas Day. And my first thing was, boy, I'm sorry to hear that. That must have been terrible growing up. She was threatening to punch me out because she was so tired of hearing that from people. And she wanted to express the opposite opinion, that it's fantastic. People make a big deal about my birthday. It's wonderful. I love it. And she still wanted to punch me out, I think. But at least I came to a more clear understanding of her opinion about having her birthday on Christmas Day.
Well, you know how coincidence, they happen and you just cannot predict them. Guess what day of the year my grandma's birthday was?
I don't know. What day of the year was that?
December 27th.
Well, there you go. Well, they say that if you put, 20 people in a room, the odds are 50-50 that two of them are going to be born on the same day.
Yeah.
So
well, she had the same problem. Everybody ignored her birthday, or they would give her a gift and say, here, this is for your birthday too.
What year was your grandmother born in?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. 18 something.
Oh, okay. Well, my father was much younger than that.
Yes. Yes, he was much younger. My grandpa was born in 1890 or so.
Okay.
And my grandma would have been born about 1893, 1894, somewhere in there.
Well, I've told you about my mother's mother, Dickie Bean, who is Irene Battle was her maiden name. And then she married a man named Bean. So she became Irene Battle Bean, but she was always known as Dick or Dickie because of the family racehorse that died the night she was born. But she had a birthday on November 1st, which ironically happens to be my daughter's birthday and ironically her son's birthday.
Wow.
So one of my grandsons, one of my children, and my grandmother were all born on November 1st. And my grandmother married Mr. Bean, who was a hugely successful guy, just a wonderful guy. I love this guy. He was a year younger than she was. So he was born in September, 8 or 10 months, maybe 11 months young. And so she lied about her age. She said, I was not born in 1899. In reality, she told people I was born in 1900. And since he was born in 1900, just a month or so ahead of her birthday, then it was okay that she was that much younger than he was. She didn't want to be older than her husband.
Right,
well, it turns out that was a family secret that she lied about her birthday by 1 year. And then after she was dead and gone, I discovered looking through family papers that she had lied about it 2 years. She was really born in 1898. And her husband would have been 2 years younger than her. It would have been horribly embarrassing. So she lied to everybody. And I think her courthouse burned down with her birth certificate in it. So the lie was pretty much, nobody could disprove it.
Now, are we sure that there wasn't something behind the courthouse burning down with her records in it?
Well, something, I'd have to find out exactly where she lived and the date of the courthouse burning down, because arson is always a distinct possibility.
You just never know. Well, anyhow, do you suppose we ought to move on and make some money here, Doug?
I think we should, because my grandmother, I'm sure, is spinning in her grave. Loved her to death, but she would not enjoy me having this conversation with you right now, knowing that strangers are going to hear about her lie.
The entire world will hear about it. So bottom line is it's out now.
It's out. It's too late. That I can't put that genie back in the bottle.
Nope.
So you are right. Let me get down to Medicare beeswax today, shall we? First thing I've got is an article that was curated for the last episode when we talked about doctors. In this case, the article didn't make it in time. So we're going to share it with you today. And it's about concierge physician care. And the headline of this article is Hospitals Cash In on a Private Equity-Backed Trend, Concierge Physician Care. Now, when they say private equity, they're talking about hospitals that have been, not taxpayer-owned institutions, but those that are owned by private parties. Often, it's a derogatory term, and I don't feel that at all. I like free enterprise, and I like private investment. I like privately owned companies. And so I believe this article is going to take a negative turn on concierge physician care. So let's find out. Nonprofit hospitals created largely to serve the poor are adding concierge physician practices. This means charging patients an annual membership fee of around $2,000 or more for easier access to their doctors. It's a trend that began decades ago with physician practices. Thousands of doctors have shifted to the concierge model, in which they can increase their income while decreasing their patient load. Sounds like a worthy goal to me. Northwestern Medicine in Chicago. I've talked about Northwestern Medicine. Actually, Northwestern Hospital is what it was for decades and decades. And now it's a huge medical complex that reaches its tentacles out into the suburbs around Chicago. So also Penn Medicine in Philadelphia, University Hospitals in Cleveland, and Baptist Health in Miami are among the large hospital systems offering concierge physician services. The fees, which can exceed $4,000 a year, are in addition to co-payments, deductibles, and other charges that are paid from the patient's insurance plans. Critics of concierge medicine say the practice exacerbates primary care shortages, ensuring access only for the affluent while driving up healthcare costs. But for tax-exempt hospitals, the financial benefits can be twofold. Concierge fees provide a new revenue directly and serve as a tool to help recruit and retain physicians. Those doctors then provide lucrative referrals of their well-heeled patients to the hospitals that employ them. Hospitals are attracted to physicians that offer concierge services because their patients do not come with bad debts or a need for charity care. Most of them have private insurance, which pays for the hospital very well. They are the ideal patient from the hospital's perspective. Concierge physicians typically limit their practice to a few hundred patients, compared with a couple of thousand patients for a traditional primary care doctor, so that they can promise immediate access and longer visits. Every time we see these models expand, we are contracting the availability of primary care doctors for the general population, says an associate dean for health equity. No, I don't like that word, equity. This is at the University of Texas Austin Medical School. University of Texas Medical School in Austin, Texas. The former Connection Health Commissioner, the former Connecticut. I should learn how to read. The former Connecticut Health Commissioner is this guy in Austin, Texas. He says concierge doctors they join large hospital systems because of the institution's reputations. While hospitals sign up concierge physicians to ensure referrals to specialists and inpatient care, it helps a hospital secure a bigger piece of their market. Concierge physicians typically promise same-day or next-day appointments. Many provide patients their mobile phone number. So a gentleman here named Klein, who oversees the concierge physician practices at Baptist Health, says the program was initially intended to serve donors. High-end donors wanted to make sure they have doctors to care for them. Baptist opened its concierge program in 2019 and now has three practices across South Florida where patients pay $2,500 a year. Concierge physician practices started more than 20 years ago, mainly in upscale areas such as Boca Raton and La Jolla. They cater mostly to wealthy retirees willing to pay extra for better physician access. Some of the first physician practices to enter the business were backed by private equity firms. One of the largest in Boca Raton, MDVIP, has more than 1,100 physicians and more than 390,000 patients. It was started in 2000, and since 2014, private equity firms have owned a majority stake in the company. Some concierge physicians say that their more attentive care means healthier patients. A study published last year by researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, and UPenn found no impact on mortality rates. What the study did find was higher costs. Using Medicare claims data, the researchers found that concierge medicine enrollment corresponded with a 30 to 50% increase in total healthcare spending by patients. This model keeps doctors who are considering retiring early in the business with a lighter caseload, he said. Well, that's kind of good, so that the doctors are going to hang around longer rather than retiring earlier. The fees amount to no more than a few dollars a day, about what some people spend on coffee. I don't drink coffee, so I'm always flummoxed by that thing about, it costs the same amount as a cup of coffee. So thanks to the editing prowess of the content coordinator, the content curator, I was able to cut a lot of the fat out of that article. She gets crazy with the highlighter sometimes, and I wind up reading every word in the lengthy article. But in this situation, I think I was able to get the important salient points about concierge medical practices. And speaking of salient points, I think it's time for me to take a deep breath and contemplate my navel. So I'm going to be doing that for just a few moments, and then we shall return with more interesting Medicare stuff. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are now going to address the 10 Medicare mistakes and how to avoid them. This article came from ARP, and that's an organization I'm not pleased with. I believe they're a bunch of lefties, but even people that I don't agree with politically can point out things that are valid. And in this case, if they're talking about Medicare mistakes, that's probably a valid mutual ground that we can both agree on. So let's find out if that's true or not. So when you sign up for Medicare, you have to make several important decisions, and the rules and the choices can be complicated. Here are 10 common mistakes that prospective Medicare enrollees make and the steps you can take to avoid these problems. Step number one, not fully comparing original Medicare with Medicare Advantage plans. Ooh boy, this is going to be pretty exciting. If you're eligible for Medicare, you have two options: original Medicare, which is Medicare Parts A and B, and your other choice is Medicare Advantage. Medicare Advantage plan actually replaces Medicare. So if you enroll in Medicare when you turn 65 and then decide to sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan, you can put your Medicare card away for the duration and use only your Medicare Advantage plan because it replaces Medicare. This type of coverage you choose, or the type of coverage that you choose, depends on factors such as your health care needs. I don't believe that's true. The insurance your doctors accept. Okay. Where you live, whether you travel often, and your financial situation. So they're saying here, original Medicare, this traditional Medicare program is offered directly through the federal government. It consists of Part A, which covers hospital costs and nursing home and hospice. And then it also has Part B, which covers doctor visits and other outpatient services. Most doctors in the country accept this insurance. And by most, they mean not 51%. They mean 94%, I've heard that figure, of all doctors accept Medicare insurance, Medicare as insurance to pay their bills. To help pay for out-of-pocket costs, you should also buy a Medigap or Medicare supplement policy, which has a separate monthly premium. Original Medicare does not include prescription drug coverage, so you'll need to buy a standalone Part D plan from a private insurer. The most widely used Part D prescription drug plan this year, 2024, cost exactly $0 in many areas of the country. In other areas, it costs 50 cents a month. So it's not always a problem to get a separate freestanding Part D prescription drug plan. Some articles will have you believe that that's not true, but in reality, it can be a very minor expense that will still contribute to the cost of your drugs. Let's see now. Medicare Advantage. This is a private insurance alternative to original Medicare. These plans provide Part A and Part B and usually drug coverage, Part D. They also may offer some benefits that original Medicare doesn't, such as dental or vision care. Now, as we heard in our previous episode, many people, 40-some percent of the people that have Medicare Advantage plans, don't know and don't use their dental, vision, or other ancillary benefits. They don't know they're there, and consequently, they don't use them. I have heard in many cases that these dental and vision alternatives and some of the other perks that they offer are limited by a small network of dentists that you have to use or else you don't get any benefit. Same with vision care. There might be one or two vision facilities that you're allowed to use in kind of a small network. Other than that, you would have to pay for your own vision exams and corrective lenses. So the fact that they have the coverage doesn't mean that it's coverage that you would enjoy using. Medicare Advantage plans generally have a provider network like the HMOs and the preferred provider organizations offered in many workplaces. They may charge more or may not cover care for out-of-network dentists and hospitals, doctors and hospitals, except as emergencies. Some Medicare Advantage plans require a referral from a primary care physician before they will cover specialist care. The plans are required to limit the amount of money that you pay in copayments, deductibles, and other out-of-pocket expenses, not counting premiums each year. In 2024, the maximum out-of-pocket limit for a Medicare Advantage plan is $8,850 for care in your plan's network. And that include, or that excludes prescription drug cost sharing. So you might even pay more than $8,850 if you have a Medicare Advantage plan. Some plans have lower caps. That's all voluntary. You are not allowed to have a Medicare Advantage plan and a Medicare supplement plan at the same time. Number two of our 10 mistakes, not signing up for Medicare at the right time. You can sign up for Medicare only at certain times. Your initial enrollment period starts before the month you turn 65 and it ends 3 months after you turn 65. If you're smart, you'll start the enrollment process 3 months before the first of your birth month, and then you'll have it completed in time for the Medicare coverage to take effect on the first of the month in which you turn 65. Now, that's assuming you're not working and don't have credible insurance from another source like an employer plan. Going right along with that line of thought, if you don't sign up during that seven-month window, you'll have a second chance to enroll during Medicare's general enrollment period, which runs from January 1st to March 31st each year. Your coverage will begin the month after you sign up during the general enrollment period, and you may have to pay higher premiums if you did not enroll when you were first eligible. You may get a lifetime late enrollment penalty. The late enrollment penalty can add 10% to your monthly Part B premium for every year that you delayed. But you may be able to postpone signing up for Medicare without a late enrollment penalty if you and your spouse are still working and you have health insurance based on that job. Typically, there would have to be 20 or more employees at the place of employment, and the employee in your family would have to be actively at work. And when those conditions are met, there's no question that your insurance through your employer is going to take the place of Medicare, and you would not be eligible for a late enrollment penalty. Number three mistake, being confused about your options if you work past age 65. Even though you can sign up for Medicare at age 65, some people who plan to keep working and receive health insurance through their employer, they decide to wait until later so they don't have to pay premiums for both the employer's coverage and Part B of Medicare. Signing up for Part A is a good idea for most 65-year-olds. The premiums are free if you or your spouse have worked long enough to be eligible for Social Security, even if you haven't filed for them yet. For Part B, you won't face a late enrollment penalty as long as you sign up before or within 8 months of losing your job-based health care coverage. That is what Medicare considers a special enrollment period. So many people don't realize that this waiver of penalties applies only to job-based coverage from a current employer, not retiree insurance or COBRA insurance. Even though you might get those from the same company, they are not considered creditable coverage. So let's see here. Number four, delaying enrollment. This is a Medicare mistake that people sometimes make. Delaying enrollment when your job insurance is second in line. Having health insurance through an employer doesn't always mean you should delay signing up for Medicare. You need to consider the size of the company. If it has 20 or more employees, your group health insurance is your primary coverage and Medicare is secondary coverage. Since your health insurance will pay out first, you can delay signing up for Medicare past age 65 while you or your spouse are still working. However, if the company has fewer than 20 employees, Medicare generally becomes the primary insurance after you turn 65. And the employer's coverage is secondary, even if you haven't signed up for Medicare yet. So that means if you don't sign up for Medicare, you have a small company plan, when you get a hospital bill, your Medicare coverage will not pay for that. So you're going to be in deep doo-doo. Retiree coverage and COBRA coverage are also considered secondary coverage. These types of insurance will pay claims only after Medicare has paid its share. In that case, it's important to sign up for Medicare when you become eligible so you don't find yourself paying what would have been Medicare's share before your secondary insurance kicks in. Number 5 out of 10 Medicare mistakes, not knowing when to sign up for Part D drug coverage. Original Medicare does not cover prescription medications that you take on your own, but you can buy a Part D as in dog policy for drug coverage. The sign-up rules for Part D are different than the rules for Parts A and B, and many Medicare Advantage plans also include prescription drug coverage. You can buy Part D drug coverage when you're first eligible for Medicare, but you don't have to sign up if you have other creditable drug coverage that's considered to be as good or better than Part D. This coverage could be from an employer plan, retiree benefits, TRICARE, military health care, or another source. And if you ask that plan whether they're considered creditable for Medicare purposes, they have to tell you whether or not they are creditable. And creditable means that you won't get a late enrollment penalty if you don't enroll in Part D of Medicare, Part D as in dog. Every September, you should receive a letter from your employer or your insurance plan that lets you know whether your drug coverage is creditable or whether it's comparable to a Part D as in dog plan. If you lose your drug coverage, you'll be eligible for a 2-month special enrollment period. Randy was fascinated by this. It would be a 63-day enrollment period, not 61, not 62, but 63 days. And you can sign up during that time for a Part D drug plan without penalty. Keep the letter as proof that you still had prescription drug coverage comparable to Part D when the time comes to enroll. If you lose your comparable drug coverage and go for 63, there it is again, 63 or more days without it, you may have to pay a late enrollment penalty. This penalty is calculated as 1%, oh boy, this is so stupid, 1% of the national base beneficiary Part D premium for every month you delayed. So that 1% could amount to like 35 cents times however many months you're late. So in 1 year, if you're 1 year late, it could be like a $4.35 a month that you have, you're going to get billed extra in addition to the plan premium for the rest of your life. If it's 2 years, then it's in the neighborhood of $8.50 that you'll be billed every month in addition to your plan premium. So it's not enough to change your lifestyle, but it's enough to be irritating. So I would recommend that people avoid having the extra lifetime late enrollment penalty applied to them by enrolling in Part D of Medicare at the earliest time that they are eligible. But I digress. So back to the article. However, if you qualify for both the Extra Help program, which helps low-income adults pay for Medicare out of pocket, let's see if you qualify. I stuck the word both in there and I shouldn't have. So if you get Extra Help or if you're on Medicaid or something like that, then the penalty won't apply to you. Number 6, choosing a Medicare Advantage plan that does not include your doctors. Each Medicare Advantage plan has different rules about provider networks. Most plans are either HMOs, which often require referrals to a specialist and rely on primary care physicians to coordinate a patient's care, or they are PPOs, which have networks of doctors, hospitals, and medical facilities that contract with a plan to provide services. In both of these scenarios, your costs are typically lowest when you use in-network providers and facilities. If you decide to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, find out the doctors and hospitals you want to use are in your network. Find out if they are in your network. If you have questions, contact the plan for more information. If your providers are not in your network, run, Forrest. Check to see how much, if anything, the plan will pay if you use their services when they're not in the network. And I bet you're going to be very surprised to find out they're not going to pay all that much, if anything. Make sure the plan continues to cover your doctor's care each year. You can switch to another Medicare Advantage plan during the annual open enrollment period, October and November, for coverage that's going to begin January 1st. Or you can do the same thing one time only during the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period from January 1st to March 31st. They have two open enrollment periods, because they realize that these plans are prone to disappoint people, and therefore disappointed people are unhappy campers. They provided another period during the course of the year during which the crappy plan could be dumped and a better, possibly better plan could be obtained. Number seven Medicare mistake, not understanding your out-of-pocket costs. Although Medicare pays the lion's share of medical costs for its enrollees, you must be prepared to pay some costs yourself. If you have original Medicare, you can get a Medicare supplement or a Medigap plan and separate Part D drug plan to help with many of those expenses. Here's a rundown. Each part of Medicare may have its own monthly fee. Most people do not pay any premium for Part A, which covers in-hospital services or in nursing home services. Now, whether you choose original Medicare or get Medicare Advantage plan, you'll be responsible for the Part B as in boy premium, which is about $175 this year. If you enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan or a Part D drug plan, you may also owe a monthly premium for that plan, depending on what plan you select. Now, deductibles. You may have to pay a set amount before Medicare starts paying for your care. The Part A deductible in 2024 is $1,632 per benefit period, not annually. So that means if you get thrown into a hospital as an inpatient, you're going to have to pay $1,632 for your first day. And after that, you get 59 free days in the hospital. But let's suppose that you have a new benefit period starting later in the year. And that's defined as a period after you've gone 30 days without being treated for that particular medical problem. You get thrown in the hospital again. You've got a new benefit period. A benefit period for Part A begins the day you're admitted as an inpatient to a hospital or skilled nursing facility and extends until you haven't received inpatient care in either facility for 2 months. This means that you can end, I said 30 days before, I think it's 2 months. This means that you can end up with multiple Part A benefit periods in a year, and each triggers another deductible. Many Part D drug plans also have deductibles. Co-payments. This is a fixed amount you must pay every time you receive a medical service. For example, if you have original Medicare without supplemental coverage, something I do not recommend at all, ladies and gentlemen, you may have to pay $408 a day if you're in the hospital for over 2 months. Now, at that point, I think $400 a day is going to be your least important problem to worry about. Coinsurance. You may have to pay a percentage of the costs of a medical visit or service. If you have original Medicare and you don't have a Medicare supplement plan, you generally have to pay 20% of the doctor and outpatient charges covered under Part B. Some of the most expensive drugs in Part D, as in dog drug plans, also may require you to pay a percentage of the cost. Mistake number eight, waiting too long to buy Medicare coverage. One of my most recent clients, he called me a couple of weeks ago and said, I would like to know what you can do for me as far as Medicare goes. And I found out the guy has been dilly-dallying for a year. He turned 65, doesn't have employer coverage, and he's been messing around for a whole year before finally taking steps to get Medicare and to get a Medicare supplement plan and a drug plan. So that guy was going naked, basically. If something had happened to him, if he had been run over by a bus or trampled by a herd of elephants, it would have been a big problem for him. So a Medicare policy can pay some of the out-of-pocket costs that Medicare doesn't cover, a Medigap policy, or otherwise known as Medicare supplement. So that is always required by my rules if you are going to have regular Medicare. And those two things together will provide the best security that you can possibly get. Now, if you buy a Medicare supplement policy within the first six months of signing up for Part B of Medicare, when you're 65 or older, insurance companies cannot deny you coverage or charge you more. if you have a health problem. But if you try to buy a plan outside of that window, companies in most states may refuse to sell you a policy or may increase your premium. I only see rejections. I don't see increases in the premiums or surcharges. Some states have their own rules governing Medicare supplement policies. So if you didn't sign up during your enrollment period, check with your state health insurance assistance plan to see about state-specific Medicare supplement rules. Number 9 mistake, not checking the prescription drug list in a Part D plan. This is what I tell people. Don't get a Part D plan just because you like the company name or because it's a little more expensive. You think you're going to get better prescription drug coverage. That is not true. You have to do a scientific search by comparing all of your drugs at places that you like to shop for prescriptions, refills, and the location where you live. Those three factors will determine what your best plan is. And as I say in my book, the best prescription drug plan is always the cheapest prescription drug plan. Make sure your plan covers your needed medicines. Each Part D plan has a list of covered drugs called a formulary. If your drug is not on your plan's formulary, you may have to request an exception, pay for it yourself, or file an appeal, and you might lose all of those things. So you'd wind up paying for it yourself. Filling some prescriptions may require prior authorization from your insurance company. You may have a $10 copay for some medications, but a $35 copay for others, or you may have to pay 20% of the price of the medication. You can compare coverages for your drugs from each plan in your area by using the Medicare Plan Finder. Find out if a plan has preferred pharmacies where you can get lower copayments. Premiums and coverage can change from year to year. You can switch Part D drug plans during the open enrollment each year, which runs from October 15th to December 7th. And that coverage will begin January 1st. And finally, number 10, if you, this is a mistake that not many people make, but you might make it if you assume that you can't afford Medicare. Several programs can help people with limited resources pay their Medicare premiums and cost-sharing expenses. Medicare savings programs help pay the monthly Part B premiums and Part A premiums that you might have. In some cases, the programs also can help cover the deductibles, coinsurance, or copayments. Contact your state health insurance assistance program, SHIP, to learn if you're eligible. Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, you're SOL, I believe, although there might be a more localized program for you. And then the term extra help, it's a federal program that helps pay for some or most of the costs of Medicare Part D prescription drug coverage. Extra help is what you're looking for if you think maybe a welfare solution will help pay your premiums. And state pharmaceutical assistance programs are offered in some states to help eligible individuals pay for prescriptions. You can find them using Medicare's online tool, which is a hot link in this article. I cannot push the phrase in the article and have the program's URL come up. So look for Medicare, state pharmaceutical assistance program. That's what you're looking for. And frankly, what I'm looking for is an opportunity to bail out of the podcast and start preparing for next week's podcast. Randy, can you...
We are out of time, Doug.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to hear. Can you arrange an exit, a rapid exit for us?
Yes, we will. Yes, absolutely. But before I do, there's always a couple things I like to do. Number one is I like to publish your email address because you like to hear from people. And if you don't, I got to tell you, Doug gets a little grumpy sometimes. So anyway, take it down. The email address is dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We would always appreciate if you can find a place to drop a couple reviews on our productions. It really helps. The numbers are where it's at. Last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been other places doing other things, and you weren't. You took the time to listen to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast with Doug Jones and we certainly appreciate that. Well, I'm sure you weren't watching your watch, but you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy originally from Oklahoma. No more. He's up in the high ground behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And again, I'm going to be nice because it's so, let's see, it's only 66 degrees still. Supposed to be nicer later, but I am going to put him in at about 5,400 feet.
Yeah, it just gets better and better. Oh, boy, the oxygen that I can breathe now is a penis. Oh, we're still here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. And come back next time, because we will look forward to seeing you joining us again. Bye-bye.